Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now we welcome back as a guest Dr. Paul Kanger. And he's a professor of political science and also of history at Grove City College. He's also a best-selling author and a widely syndicated columnist. And we're going to talk about presidents, not really so much about Trump, but presidents in times past. Paul, welcome back to the program.
Hey, Jerry, always good to be with you. Thanks.
Hey, before we go into the subject of presidents and, you know, like who are among the best, who are among the worst, how is President Trump doing? It seems like he's off to a rocky start.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, first I would have said he's doing great in terms of, you know, getting things done, moving quickly, right? And, I mean, that's how they measure a lot of presidents, for better or worse, is effectiveness. And, the effectiveness is one of the reasons why you get such high rankings for people like FDR and LBJ and Woodrow Wilson, people that we don't like. But, you know, but they were effective. And, you know, if a liberal were to be honest and was rating a president, they'd have to say, well, Trump is being effective. They might not like what he's doing, but he's being effective. But it's kind of stalled in the last few weeks. And I think, really, frankly, Jerry, a big part of this, and I tried to warn Trump supporters about this a year ago. I know they want somebody to go in
and
who's going to blow the place up and really get things done, and run the White House like a business, right? But the problem is you can't run the White House like a business because it's the White House. it's the presidency. I often tell my students one of my favorite quotes. It was from Harry Truman, and he said about Eisenhower, when Eisenhower replaced him, he said, "Poor Ike. He'll come in here and he'll say, do this, do that, do this, do that, and nothing will happen. It won't be anything like the military." And that's really true. And, you know, for conservatives and conservative Christians, you know, people listening to this show, remember, we want it that way, right? I mean, we believe in separation of powers, checks and balances. You know, we don't want a president who can just come in and do whatever he wants. And so, you know, Trump, you know, build that wall. He's finding out it's not so easy to do that. Repeal Obamacare. Well, yeah, we all, you know, we want it repealed, but what are you going to replace it with? And how are you going to get the dominant party in Congress to all come together on one replacement plan? So I think he's been stalled by that reality. And also by some of the slip-ups and gaffes and statements and kind of mini scandals and crazy stuff that's happening with the Russians as well. So, sorry, it's probably a longer answer than you wanted, but I guess that gets at it.
You know, before we leave the issue of the Russians, I've just been marveling over the last few weeks. Wow, finally the left has something bad to say about the Russians.
I know. Yeah, they're suddenly hawks, aren't they? Yeah, on they're suddenly worried about the Russians. Right? Yeah. I mean, where were they when Obama was telling Dmitry Medvedev they all have more flexibility after the election, right? And Medvedev said, "I will tell Vladimir, right? I will tell Vladimir Putin."
Or where were they when the Russians were literally killing tens of millions of their own people? One of my favorite quotes, you probably know about this couple, I forgot their name, but they converted from communism to Catholicism, and they wrote an article in the National Review, and they said, when the Soviet Union finally collapsed, what did they have to show for 70 years of atheist to communism? They couldn't even deliver the goods, meaning they couldn't feed the people. All they had to show for it was tens of millions of corpses.
Yeah.
I thought, wow, what an indictment from a former, couple that were former communists.
Well, that's right. And also, you and I have talked about this many times. I broke this in a book on Ronald Reagan and the Fall of Communism back in 2006. When Ted Kennedy was reaching out to the Soviets, to Yuri Andropov.
Yeah.
And, you know, that document that showed that proved that, it's 3 pages translated in English, it's 5 pages in the original Russian. I published the entire thing in the book.
Dukes.
I carry that document around with me in my briefcase for, like, literally 6 or 7 years, waiting for one person in the mainstream media to just call and argue with me about it. They didn't even do that. I mean, they just completely ignored it. And then again with Obama the last few years, remember the presidential debate with Mitt Romney where he said, "Hey, Mitt, the 1980s are calling. They want their foreign policy back." Yuck, yuck, yuck. Right? You know, like, you know, anybody with concerns about Russia in 2012 was a Neanderthal McCarthyite. But now suddenly with the Democrats, Nancy Pelosi, the liberals, oh, we're all cold warriors now, right? So there's a considerable amount of hypocrisy here.
Well, as an historian of politics, what do you think of this charge that we're hearing over and over and over that the Russians interfered with the election of 2016 and basically helped Trump get elected?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm trying to piece it together. It's hard to separate what's fact from fiction. They appear to have meddled to some degree, right? And probably the big question here would be kind of like the question about whether or not the Kennedys stole the election in 1960. From Richard Nixon, the Kennedys, certainly Joe Kennedy, intended. It's just a matter of did they make the decisive difference? And
it was a very close vote,
right?
Chicago helped come through. You know, according to all the different mobster documentaries, you know, about Giancarlo from Chicago, and then also LBJ helped in Texas.
Yeah.
And a lot of dead people voting there. Okay. All right.
There's no question about that. And this time around, I guess it depends maybe in part if the Russians were indeed the source to WikiLeaks, right? Mm-hmm. And then if so, how damaging were some of the WikiLeaks revelations? Frankly, I never saw any of the smoking guns that I was hoping to see coming out of WikiLeaks. But you know, you mentioned Catholics earlier, and I wrote a piece on this for National Catholic Register. Some of the stuff that came out in the last few weeks about John Podesta, or is it Jen Palmieri? I wrote about this. So I don't want to get it wrong on the air. Talking about how the liberals needed a Catholic spring to change the Roman Catholic Church and try to make it pro-gay marriage, try to change its position on abortion and birth control. I can tell you as a matter of fact, Jerry, I watched a 20-point swing in the polls among Catholics who despised Hillary Clinton but also despised Donald Trump. But they were going to vote for Hillary by, at that point, it was about a 20-point margin in September. And I know this because I read the internals, only because they didn't like Trump. It wasn't that they were giving high numbers to Hillary. They just didn't trust Trump. After those WikiLeaks revelations came out with all the Catholic stuff, that completely flipped in about 4 weeks to where Catholics voted for Trump, I think it was by 7%.
Yeah.
And usually the Catholic vote perfectly mirrors the overall vote, which means it should have went Hillary like 48-46%. But this time it went Trump 52-45.
Wow.
And that's one in four voters. Catholics were one in four voters. So in that sense, if the Russians were behind that kind of material that went to WikiLeaks, then it might well have made a difference.
But in the case of John Podesta, it's my understanding that his own email was hacked or whatever, and he made a mistake, and there was a misunderstanding between him and his IT guy or whatever in the spring of last year. But, you know, I don't know about the Russians involved in that. But I guess we'll see.
Yeah, so we don't know where Julian Assange, right, how he got the material. So the thinking is that it might have been hacked by some group of quote-unquote Russians, right, whether working for Putin or in the private sector or wherever. I don't know. So, but it's interesting that the liberals care about this so much because, you know, now that the Russians did something bad, what's the bad thing that they did? They hurt Hillary, right? They hurt the Democrats. Never mind about killing 70 million people in the 20th century.
Yeah, yeah.
Now that you've messed around with the Democrats and winning the election and stopping their fundamental transformation and their revolution to to convert all bathrooms in public schools into transgender bathrooms. Well, them are fighting words, right? So yeah, so now suddenly the liberals are finally angry at the Russians. Finally, they can have a reason to hate the Russians.
All right, now, we've had 44 men serve as presidents. I used to think it would be 45, but I realized that Grover Cleveland counts twice, so that's where the 45 comes from. So anyway, who has been ranked as number one, number two, and number three of all time?
Well, this is the C-SPAN survey that was done now in 2017. Last time was 2009. And they also did it in 2000. I'm part of that survey group.
Oh.
And yeah, and C-SPAN.
You helped contribute to you helped contribute to C-SPAN's research on this?
I did. I was there were 91 scholars that were surveyed. I was one of the 91.
Oh, congratulations.
And by the way, yeah, well, it's when they did it in 2009, there were about 60 of us. So it was a smaller sample size, and I can tell you that of all these surveys that they do of presidential scholars, this one is the fairest I've ever seen.
Okay.
They have about, from what I can tell, Jerry, about 20 that I can identify as conservatives among the 91.
Wow.
Now, you know, that's not a lot. It should be higher. But typically in the past, when these surveys were done by academics, they were basically liberal academics surveying liberal academics and coming up with liberal results.
Yeah.
So this one at least tries to be a bit more fair. But the top 10, Lincoln is number one. Washington is number two. Now, I'm not surprised. Usually those two are in the top two. FDR is number three. Now, I'm not surprised about that either. I don't like it, but I'm not surprised by it. Teddy Roosevelt, number four.
Wow.
I am surprised by that, but he usually finishes around the top ten. This is kind of a surprise, but I like it. They have Eisenhower at number five.
Wow.
Eisenhower has continued to climb up in this every year. Harry Truman at six. I'm a Truman fan. I like him. I looked at how I ranked. He probably ended up in my top ten. Jefferson at seven. It's probably not a surprise. John F. Kennedy at eight, which I think is ridiculous. I gave Kennedy a pretty good ranking, but I wouldn't put him in the top ten. And I wouldn't put him above the guy at number nine. That's Reagan. But I'm happy that Reagan's in the top ten. He was in my top three, but I'm happy that he's at least in the top ten. And then LBJ is number ten.
What?
Which I don't like, but he's number ten.
That one surprises me. I could see the other ones. LBJ, I would think he had a failed presidency, and quite frankly, yes. Maybe this is just an interpretation, but are there not millions and millions and millions of people in perpetual poverty because of LBJ's policies to try and supposedly help the poor, but all they did was create this permanent underclass?
Well, I think he really screwed up the country, but here's what C-SPAN does. So commendably well, but it also has its flaws. They try to remove ideology from this, okay? So they give you 10 categories, and so people listening, think about this. How would you do this? One of the categories is public persuasion, okay? Another is relations with Congress. Another is vision, setting an agenda, okay? Now, if you're thinking about LBJ, as much as I despise his vision and his agenda, I have to give him a 10 out of 10 for achieving his agenda. He achieved an agenda that I despise. He created a great society. But you know, if I'm looking at hard facts, did he achieve his agenda? Yeah, 10 out of 10. Same thing with FDR, right? I don't like the agenda that he pursued, but did he achieve it? Yeah, 10 out of 10. Woodrow Wilson is number 11 on this list.
Wow.
Did I like his agenda? No, but did he achieve it? 10. But conversely, I have to say the same thing about Reagan, right? Reagan, you know, wanted to cut taxes, restore the economy, wanted to win the Cold War of all things.
Yeah, I would think Reagan. Yeah, Reagan should have been higher in that list. Well, listen, we have less than a half a minute to go. Who were the three worst presidents?
Well, boy, I don't.
Or
have
did they didn't they didn't do it that way? Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, no, they are here, and at the very bottom. Well, I don't know if these.
Who
are
was the very worst?
I could tell you around the bottom: Nixon,
okay.
Harding, Hoover. I could tell you my three worst, Jerry.
Yeah.
My three worst.
We'll close on that.
Herbert Hoover, Obama, and Jimmy Carter.
Wow.
But Obama ended up number 12.
What?
On this list,
oh, that's
which
amazing.
Is insane.
Yeah, okay, that is yeah. insane. And that's like that remark you made about liberals choosing liberals, you know.
Right, ranking you know. Their own. That,
yeah.
You can't you go through all 10 categories. There is no way
yeah.
that Obama should finish at 12 on
all right.
that. It's just impossible.
We're out of time. Visionsandvalues.org. Paul Kanger, always a pleasure.
Okay.
Thank you, sir. Bye-bye.